This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Welcome to episode 322, Charles Kelly from Lady A. On the untold origin story of the band, their name change, the song he's proudest of on their new album, a really good interview. But before we get into it, let's check out my top 5 favorite releases out this week. Number 5, Maddie and Tay have a new song called Madness. Come on, baby, hello, high. If those stars fall from that sky, let it all come crashing. I'll be running to you the fastest. Number 4, Morgan Evans has a new EP called The Country and the Coast Side A. Here's a new song called American Dream Truck. Found a little bit of highway freedom, little Tennessee breeze in my hair. 5 speed and the pain was feeling, my ticket to anywhere. Heard about every high and low I ever had in this 10-year town. Got tough, but it kept going when I broke down. At number 3, Shy Carter has a new EP called The Rest of Us. We have a really good episode with Shy Carter from a couple months ago, huh?
Yep.
And here is a new song called Wild. John Mayer has put out a ballad version of a song, Last Train Home, and here's that. Maybe you're the last train. Maybe you're the last train home. I'm on the last train running. And at number 1, Tierra has a new song out called Gentleman. Just a heads up, hope when you come over. May or may not be sober. Turn off all the lights. Might not be ladylike. I'm just saying I don't mind. If you don't want. Some quick albums that are out. Ed Sheeran has a new album. Let's see. LV Shane has a new album. He has that song, It Ain't My Boy, But That's My Boy. I don't sing it exactly right. But so Mitchell Tenpenny has a new album. It's a Christmas album. And Hayes Carl has a new album out as well. All right. On to a really great interview with Charles Kelly from Lady A. With Charles Kelly of Lady A. How's it going, man?
I'm good.
You know what? I was talking to the guys here before you came in, and they were like, is it all 3 of them? Is it just Charles? I was like, it's just Charles, and I like it when it's only one person.
Yeah.
because it's difficult to interview a group whenever there are multiple voices in the group.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Zach Brown Band, yeah, it's easy because Zach's the only one that's going to talk. Yeah. And even then, it's hard to get him to talk. I'll be honest. One of the harder interviews. Zach,
really?
I like Zach off the air. Peculiar guy. Like him, but he's really a hard interview. And there are the people that I just don't like interviewing because they're tough to interview.
Yeah.
You're not one of them.
No, I sometimes have word vomit, which I've had several times on your show.
But I would much rather have word vomit. Mm-hmm. You and Luke.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about
it. No, definitely not Luke.
Yeah, I can go it's 72 degrees outside today and then just sit back for 30 minutes, you know?
I still get literally like breakout in hives thinking about that one interview where I met Mariah Carey. And I kept saying Carrie Underwood, and I meant that Mariah Carey you know, because singing so hard for so long is like, and y'all were all looking at me, and like Hillary looked at me, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know y'all are best friends with Mariah Carey. And it was like, dude, Carrie Underwood. I'm like, dude, Carrie Underwood has like probably the strongest female voice in our genre, which y'all haven't been like, you were just insane. So, but yeah, you get a lot of that with me. I figured, I was like, I know why he wants me on this show and not with Dave and Hillary, because they can interject and rein in the crazy.
It's not even just reining in. It's hearing a story as told by a single person.
Mm-hmm.
And singular stories are so important to me. Yeah. And I've gotten a chance to get to know Dave a little bit, even away from the industry. But when it comes to you guys' story, to talk to one of you, I feel like hearing it from all three of you separately is better than hearing it all three of you together.
It would be really interesting, too, because we've even learned, especially over the last like 4 or 5 years, a lot of how differently each of us interpreted different like parts of our career, you know, and kind of internalized it. And I didn't realize, you know, the way like Hillary had viewed those first 5 years or the way Dave had viewed those first 5 years. And you know what I mean? And we're all like, you know, we talked about that Enneagram a lot. All three of us are.
I mean,
so
Dave's
different.
Who got me into the Enneagram years ago.
Oh, yeah. He's super into it.
Yeah.
Which I think you got to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Same.
I mean, it's not like it's this like proven religion, but it's, I do think it helps you at least just communicate a little bit better and understand people's personalities.
You know, with you guys, in a couple places I want to go to start this.
Okay.
It's interesting that some artists are seen as newer, younger artists, even though you're younger than they are. I think at times you guys have been penalized for breaking so early.
Yeah.
And I'll explain to you what I mean. That we'll have these meetings, and I don't do a lot of radio meetings anymore. I don't program music. I really don't do. I just kind of do the show and do my other projects. But at times they'll bring in and they'll go, hey, we're thinking about these artists for this, or even a television project.
Yeah.
And they'll say, you know, Lady A, they're very established. They've been around for a long time. But then we can go with a newer, younger artist. And before, it's been like Brett Young. And I'm like, hold on a minute here. You know, Brett's older than these guys.
Yeah.
I think that at times, because of your success so early, people go, you know what? They're kind of an older group.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel that way. I mean, it's funny you said that too, because before we actually switched over to Big Machine, I mean, we had obviously an incredible success and incredible relationship with Capitol, and then eventually became Universal. And we just felt like we were kind of sensing that from them. It was like, okay, we're ready for some new blood or whatever. They're one of our established acts. But, and I remember Hillary being in this meeting with Scott Borchetta, and she was like, I'm 30, like I'm 40 now. And she's like, I'm 33 years old, 32 years old. I've got so much more I'm ready to say and do. And she was like, you know, we plan on doing this for a long time and still have so much more music in us. And so it is kind of funny. But you know what? It's a blessing, too. I mean,
heck yeah, man.
Being out on the road this past, like, summer. I mean, dude, it was 15 years of songs. And I was like, I mean, after not doing it for 2 years, too, I was like, dude, that was an hour and a half to 2 hours straight of radio singles. Thanks to you guys, you know. Thanks to the fans. Thanks to you guys at radio playing this stuff. And it was like, I remember when we opened up for Tim McGraw and being like, he didn't play half of my favorite songs because he just couldn't fit it in the show. And that's just insane, you know, and we're not quite there, but it's like we could be.
With all three of you, and you've been together and you've been through extreme highs, is there a paramour type where you guys have, because they would go to therapy as a group because they got so big.
Yeah.
And as you get bigger, everyone's parts of people's lives amplify.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to deal with that? The success were... You were growing, success was happening, and you guys had to manage your relationships with each other?
For sure. I mean, we've been pretty open about that. I mean, you know, the Paramore situation, from an outsider looking in, she got so much attention. I'm sure that it was, I feel like Hillary has been, you know, to her credit, has been so great about it always being the group, you know, because being the one female in the group, she could have probably, especially during the Need You Now era, like really taken on so much more things. And but that's just not her personality. We are such a group, and the sound is so defined by the three of us together that I don't think it ever got there. But oh yeah, I mean, again, to get back to the personalities, I mean, the way I communicate, I grew up with a bunch of siblings, and we would yell and fight, and that's how you talked. And, you know, with Dave and Hillary, they grew up in very calm, you know, Dave, they would kind of, I don't know, you know, just very calmly talk about things. And same thing with Hillary. She didn't, like when I would get upset about stuff, that's just me getting intense. That means I'm excited, or I'm very passionate about this thing. And it would come off like angry sometimes. And so we had to kind of work through that, you know. And I'm definitely a pretty strong type A personality, you know, and I wouldn't say the two of them really are. But you know, I'm not saying it's a good thing. There's a lot about me. I mean, I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, I don't know if I like guys like me that much.
I say the same thing about me. Yeah. Like, I don't know that I'd be friends with me.
I don't really.
I think at my core, I would like the qualities that I have, mm-hmm. as far as empathy and, yeah. but I don't know that I'd want to hang out with an extreme type A like I am.
I just think I'd wear myself out.
Same. Yeah. I feel the same way. Whenever people talk about you guys' origin story, how much of that story, and I can relate a little bit to us, and I've been with Amy and Lunchbox and those guys for 15 years. Yep. You know, we've been together since the beginning. Oh, yeah. But it's kind of become a character of itself and how we got together, where it's all true. I did meet Amy at a restaurant, but there was a little more that went into it, yeah. than that. I did meet Lunchbox at a bar, but there were a few things that happened before, yeah. we were a show. With you guys, it's you met on MySpace, you got discovered at Third and Lindsley, and then, yeah. there they are, they're Lady A.
Yeah. I mean, the truth, here's the truth. It starts, I guess, around 2005. I moved to Nashville. I'm working in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I graduated University of Georgia, so I moved to North Carolina to work for my oldest brother, and he's like flipping houses and stuff. After about 6 months, I'm just like, I'm miserable. I'm like, this can't be it, you know. And my other brother Josh was having a little success, singer-songwriter Josh Kelly. Anybody out there that hasn't heard his music, he had a really big hit called Amazing on like Hot AC. And so anyways, he starts writing a lot in Nashville, and he's like, you know, he was out in LA at the time, and he starts kind of falling in love with Nashville. He's like, man, I think I'm going to move to Nashville. So he moves to Nashville in 2005. And right around this time, I'm just like, I've just hit this little point where I'm like, I've got to get out of here. And so he said, dude, just come on down to Nashville and move. And I did. I just kind of said, screw it. I'm moving to Nashville. And I was there for, you know, with him for a couple months, and he met his wife, and she's an actress, Katherine Heigl. Well, so they're just falling in love with each other. So now he's spending all his time in LA. So I'm there in Nashville all by myself, and I don't know anybody. I don't really know how to play an instrument. I always grew up playing drums. I was like, what do I do? Like, how do I get out there? And so I randomly called up Dave. I don't know what made me do this. We had like written a couple really crappy songs just piddling around in college at Georgia, and I always knew he was super talented. We would always go to the youth, what did you call it? I can't remember what it was called, but it was kind of a youth group thing, and he would always play in the band. I was like, dadgum, that guy's really talented. But we weren't really super close, but we were friends. And anyways, I said, man, I know you're in Atlanta, and I was like, I just need to like write. Can I come up there and just write some with you? So this is a long story. I'm giving you a long story.
We have time for it.
You want it? Okay. So I would go up there on the weekends when he was off work, and he had this little apartment, and we would write, and like he would let me crash on the couch, and then I'd like come back to Nashville, and then I'd come back up there and write again. It was just a very bizarre.
Is Atlanta up there?
Time.
I picture Atlanta being down there. Is that what you're talking about?
Down
Atlanta?
There. I said up there. Okay. Down right. there. I say up there. Anything. I'll go. I'm going up to the beach, and I'm talking about Florida.
Got it.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah. That's one of my wife's pet peeves of me. going down there. And so, anyways, I would go down there. We wrote a few times like this, and then all of a sudden, I was like, we started getting a collection of good songs, and Dave's kind of going through the same thing. He was doing like this, like accounting job where he was, you know, going to different businesses and like doing computer stuff and their accounting. I don't even ask me. I don't know what it was. And he's like, man, is this what it is? Is this what life's all about too? And I was like, man, we've got something. I don't know what it is, but I said, we've got something. And I said, we can live at my brother's house for free. He's not there anyways. I mean, we had full reign of my brother's house because he was always up in LA. If he wasn't on the road, he was with his girlfriend. I mean, they were smitten. And so we had this studio, and Dave kind of knew how to work it in the studio. So we started doing some demos, and we started going out and doing some solo shows just under my name. And it was like Dave and I were writing these songs. Sometime around there, you know, we created this MySpace page, and Hillary, lo and behold, was a fan of my brother Josh. Well, anybody that remembers MySpace, they have like your top friends. Well, all of a sudden, here's Charles Kelly sitting there. So she said she just randomly checked it out and was like, he's got a pretty good voice. Lo and behold, Dave and I go, or I went to this bar called 12th and Porter, and she was like up singing with a band some. And when she came off, she like saw me and goes, hey, I'm a fan of your music. I was like, really? No kidding. I was like, well, we should write together. And honestly, I say it all the time. I mean, I really was like, I'm just going to get a date out of this. This girl's hot. We'll see how this goes. And she comes over like, well, let me take it back. So here's Hillary Scott. Y'all are going to have to edit so much of this. This is awful. And so it's rambly because I haven't told the story like this long. Anytime I tell it really succinct. So she comes over. Or first I come home and I'm like, hey, Dave, I met this really beautiful girl. She wants to write. And so we immediately go to her MySpace page. And her songs are legit. She had been working with Rick Taylor Shaw. I mean, she had songs like Long Gone. Anybody that remembers our first record, Long Gone was on there, which made that record. And a couple other songs, which were just super like tight, you know, Nashville demos, just ready to go. And we were like, whoa, we got to get something ready. And so she comes over like a week or two later, and we had this song called All We Never Need. And I had a little bit of the verse and a little bit of the chorus. And I was like, I don't know how to finish it. And she, I mean, it couldn't have been 2 minutes when she was in our house and Dave's on the piano. And she just starts singing the next line and we start finishing this thing. Second song, Can't Take My Eyes Off You. Fourth or fifth song, Love Don't Live Here. And it was just like, whoa, this is badass. And for us, really, we were just writing. Honestly, Dave and I were going to just try to write for her record. We were like, I think this girl's going to be a star. And randomly, you know, after a while, I was like, what if just for fun, we do this and just see how it goes? And we started doing a show at Third and Lindsley. We opened up for my brother Josh, one of his shows at Third and Lindsley, and the reaction was just way bigger than anything we had ever done separately. And so that's kind of how it started.
So I want to go back a little bit when you were doing...
Enjoy that editing.
Doing construction. No editing needed. When you were doing construction, it kind of blows my mind to think that someone that's as talented as you are is roofing houses.
Well, it was, so I graduated with a finance degree at Georgia. So, I mean, I worked my butt off at Georgia. Like, I mean, I had this like 3.8. I thought I was just going to have all these job offers. No job offers. I think I got a job offer at Enterprise Car. So it really told me, it was like, it's who you know. So anyways, my older brother's 10 years older than me. And he was like, dude, instead of going and getting some entry level job where you're getting coffee or something, he goes, come up here, work with me. And I'm building something, you know, and eventually I was just like, we're going to build something like a real business and a real company. And I just didn't have the patience.
Were you singing? And I roofed houses for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't have the physical gift, but were you singing? Were you flexing that muscle at all?
So I did a ton. So we played in cover bands all growing up, middle school and in high school. We played in a band like Inside Blue was our first band was called Spork in middle school, and we wore the little spoon and fork necklaces around the school. And then our second one was called Inside Blue. We did a lot of blues and Allman Brothers and just all kinds of different stuff. And so I played in cover bands all my life. And something when I went to college, Josh went to Ole Miss because we were in the band together. And then when I went to Georgia and I didn't have my brother with me, I don't know. I just didn't. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Forget it. That's a pipe dream, you know. Or I don't even think I ever thought it was going to be a real job. It was just something I could do. And so in college, it was kind of my little party gag. If there was a band, I'd be like, hey, man, can I get up and sing a song?
And would people be just stunned?
They would be kind of – it would be pretty cool, especially if I got like a really cool like R&B band and I go up there and like, yeah, I know you want to leave, man. They'd be like, damn, because think of how many drunk, you know, college kids just like, let me sing a song.
So you weren't known as the singer?
No.
Just generally, you weren't Charles, the guy who everybody knows can sing really well?
No.
Because you weren't?
Mm-mm. I just didn't do it that much. And I don't know. It was one of those things I knew I could sing, but I don't know. I don't think I knew I was like good enough to do it for a living. I just thought it would be kind of a cool party trick, you know?
What about songwriting, though? At what point?
Mm.
Either one of them did you realize I can actually play in the big leagues?
Not until, honestly, this is the honest to God truth. Probably not until Hillary and we got together and it just, I mean, Dave and I wrote probably 50 of the worst songs in the world, but they had a lot of great bones to them, like great melodies. Just didn't really know how to like wrap my head around the lyrics and really telling a story. But we were always, Dave and I were really good at coming up with melodies. But when Hillary got in the room and then she introduced us to a lot of really heavy hitter songwriters, and you just start figuring it out, man. You start figuring out that these little puzzle pieces to songwriting and you know, and because there's an archetype to it, you know. You got verse, chorus, bridge brings back the concept of what the chorus is all about and the overall theme, and you start figuring this out. But yeah, I don't think until we became a group that I actually wrote something that, you know, I would send like my dad the songs and he didn't really react, really, really react until I sent him All We'd Ever Need and then Love Don't Live Here. And it was like, he goes, don't let that girl go.
What's interesting about you and Hillary is that vocally you're both alpha. And in a lot of groups, most groups, that is not a factor. I mean, I could probably just start to list groups where you have multiple lead singers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can put them on one hand, yeah. Right? I mean, you go Eagle. I mean, they're just, yeah. You know. So was there ever a conversation of who's the real lead singer?
Not really. I mean, I remember some of the first, God, it's so weird, by the way. I feel like when I have both ears in, it's kind of like when I'm on stage too, and I'm talking to the audience and I've got both of my headphones in, I have to take one out. I feel so disconnected. I don't know why.
You can still hear me through the microphone.
It's just a weird thing. It's like, I still feel like I'm talking.
No, I get it.
I still feel like I'm talking in my head.
Okay.
But,
Well, take them off, and then I'll tell you before we play some clips.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yay.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
So what were we talking about?
I was talking about the fact that you guys have two vocal alphas.
Oh, yeah. So when we went on our first radio tour, it was really funny. He's become a dear, dear friend now. But Nate Deaton is up in San Jose, and he was like, I just don't know if people are going to get two different lead singers. He was like, y'all have to identify. Like, people want to identify with a singer. And I remember being like, Nate, I hear you, but I don't agree. I was like, what about Fleetwood Mac? What about the Eagles? I said that. I mean, they all had 2-3 very distinct singers, and it worked. And I was like, you know, in fact, there hadn't been much of that in, I was like, what about Little Big Town? You know, they have four. I mean, think about even the songs that like Philip sings on and Kimberly. And so, you know, I was like, don't let this be like some excuse not to play our music. But I will say early on, probably just because I was such an alpha, it kind of looked like maybe I was going to be more of the lead singer. But the songs, it was just, I don't know, as the songs that really started coming to a head, I think as Hillary got her confidence too, because Hillary had never really performed live that much. And so she was always kind of a little shy. And you could just slowly start to see her confidence and her start to become, you know, more of a giant factor and the face of the group, especially in the second record. And you got Need You Now and American Honey. But I don't know. I just think it was always the way we looked at it. I mean, we always, from our very first record, wanted it to be a very balanced thing. And then finally, I don't know if you know, on the new record, Dave's got his first lead vocal. And so, but I don't know. I mean, it's always been a pretty equal thing, you know?
Is it deliberately equal?
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, we write so much music. I mean, it's not like we're sitting there going, you got 4 songs, I got 4 songs.
Like lines
there's
in
three.
A script where people are arguing about
But it. We want to make it. It's what makes us, you know? And I think it naturally has always just been something we've always wanted to do. And we're giant fans of each other's voice. I've said it. This is not blowing smoke. I really truly think Hillary doesn't have as big of a range as some other singers. Like, she can't sing up in the stratosphere and really low, but in her range, I think she's unbeatable. I think she's got one of the best tone in our genre in her spot of anybody. I really truly believe that. And we're just really big fans of each other's voices, and we have a lot of respect for that. And I don't know.
As we reflect back for a second on the origin of the band, whenever you guys name yourself and you call yourself Lady Antebellum, I would assume most people think that she's Lady Antebellum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, which it's so funny. I mean, obviously, with all that has gone on with our name, I mean, it was the most silly, innocent way of naming a band. Literally, we're taking these pictures from these Antebellum homes, coming up with a name. We were about to call ourselves Springdale or something. We didn't know. We were just like, all these names.
Did you guys name yourself, though, or did someone say, hey, this
no,
is the
we
name?
Did.
Yeah.
We did. When we were looking through these pictures, I was like, that's a beautiful Antebellum home right there. I was like, Antebellum, it sounds southern. It just sounds graceful. It sounds like Muscle Shoals or something. You know, I pictured like Savannah and this thing. And I don't know why I said Lady, but I guess I was thinking like Scarlett O'Hara. I mean, it's so funny if I could go back to what made, because I came up with that name, and I remember like saying, and I said it to Dave, and he goes, God, that sounds cool. And I was like, people are just going to be intrigued. At the time, all you wanted were people to go, what?
Mm-hmm.
What's Lady Antebellum? And I was like, man, you know, there's all these other like cool bands, like Jane's Addiction, and all these, like it gives it a little bit of mysterious vibe. And I was like, maybe there's this like haunted lady that used to live there, this thing, I don't know, Lady Antebellum. And it just sounds southern. And then I didn't really think about it. And when we start going on tour, it's like, oh, so she's the lead singer. I was like, damn it. I was like, I'm an idiot. Like, I mean, if I could go back I mean, especially when we were going through this whole thing with our name change, I can't tell you how many nights I would like stay up going and I would come up with names in my head. Like, why didn't I call myself, you know, freaking green grass this green grass? Cause it was like, it was so, and how can you convince people that it was just like, it just came out of the thin blue air. I don't know why it just did. It just came out and it sounded Southern. And I remember having so many people going, I won't name the artist, but I remember having like two or three artists go like, y'all think y'all would be as successful without such a cool name? You know what I mean? And it was like, to them, it just felt cool. It just felt us. I don't know.
I can remember I was working and I was still doing pop and hip hop in Austin. And you guys were doing a radio tour because you'd bring by the little pictures signed. And it was very early on. And I was like, Lady Antebellum, what the heck is that? But I was curious enough to go and check it out.
I know. And, you know, and I don't think we thought past that. We didn't ever thought past, like, what's going to make someone just push the click on MySpace and say, what? Let me hear it. And I don't know. We even thought it was kind of cool that it would be like, oh, and then a guy's singing. I don't know. What? I mean, why?
When you guys go and you play and you open for your brother, and it's the three of you, were you doing what you and Dave did, where you were just playing under your name, or did you even have a name, or did you have that name by
then? We had that name by then. Before our first gig, I mean, we initially started, I think, our MySpace, it might have been under Springdale or something like that. I think it was a road called Springdale. And I remember, like, telling that to some buddies. They're like, that sounds cheesy. And, you know, and we were like, oh, it sounds a little bit too much like Sugarland, too, you know? I mean, just the name is... It's so hard to come up with a name because everything, I mean, the Beatles, Eagles, you know.
All the mascots are basically taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we didn't want to be like two dudes and a chick or Hillary, Dave, you know, Charles Band. So it was just like, you know, you could just come up with this name. But, it was just very intriguing to people and it worked.
Was it a frenzy, a bidding war, or you guys just got in with one label who believed in you?
No, it was pretty wild. So Hillary had this development deal on Sony, unbeknownst to Dave and I. We didn't know what a development deal meant. I mean, we had just moved to town. And so she had a development deal, I guess, and had done like a final showcase for them. And Joe Galani, they passed. And this was like 2 or 3 months before she met me. Or maybe a month before she met me. And she said it was almost like, she says all the time, it's like one door closed and God opened another one. And I think, truly, she'll admit and I'll admit that we brought out the best in each other. I needed something to make me unique and define my sound. Because I was kind of sitting here floating between, am I going to be like a pop singer, an R&B singer, a country singer? Because I love it all. And I think that's the one problem about being in cover bands is you can sit there and be like, blame it all on my roots. And then you go, you know, all night long. And then you'd be like, Maroon 5, you know, I'm gonna get a phone. And you're just like, who am I? I got to find my sound. And, you know, having her, I started bringing my register down and getting this kind of cool, you know, kind of Greg Allman thing going to my voice. And she brought that out of me even more. And I think for me, I brought out some confidence in her, especially in the performance side, to just let loose and to just trust yourself and also give her a sound because, you know, when you listen to some of the songs she was writing, it was kind of like, okay, it's what all the girls are doing, you know? Like, what's going to separate you from, you know, all the rest of the female country artists? And so I think Dave and I helped give her this sound too. And I don't know, it just felt like a cool package. And there wasn't much like that around that time, you know? And so, yeah, we do this showcase at Third and Lindsley, and Victoria Shaw had invited all these people. I know, you know, Hillary's parents had invited some industry friends, and slowly but surely it just grew. And I remember one of the last shows we had there at Third and Lindsley, we had pretty much every label represented. And Paul Worley, like, just was the first, when we got done, jumped up and like rushed to the stage, was like, I want to work with you guys. And he was at Warner Brothers, and we eventually wanted to sign with Capitol Records. And he, I don't know if this is true, but he said he left Warner Brothers specifically so he could work with us. And he became just strictly a producer again and, you know, did our first four records.
The first record, when you guys go in and you start to cut songs, as a new group. Did they have a lot of the songs laid out for you? How much of
it? Oh, no. It was that. I think that was the coolest thing. We had a pretty alpha manager, too, Gary Borman. He manages Keith Urban. And, you know, we're with Corin Capshaw now, but Gary did honestly a great job. I really do have a lot of respect for him. And it was kind of like, y'all got to give these guys some artistic freedom. But they never pushed. I mean, I remember the A&R team was a little kind of confused. You know, they wanted to kind of dig their heels in a little bit and send us some songs. And we were like, no, man, I'm telling you. And I remember there was a big discussion on whether Love Don't Live Here really was a hit or just sounded cool. Because it took a minute and a half for the chorus to come in. And that was like,
wow, that is a long time, especially now. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's two verses. I mean, it's like this whole verse. And then I go, yeah, boom, boom, boom. And it's another verse. And then a chorus, then a verse, then a chorus and outro. So it doesn't even have three choruses. It's two choruses. And so it was very left-footed. And I remember them being like, it's not, we just don't know. And I remember us, maybe I didn't know that I couldn't be this way. And I was like, no, this is the first single. Trust me, this is going to be huge. And I think our energy and our confidence just exuded. And I'm telling you, I was a more confident artist those first three or four records than I am now. It's like once you know what a little failure feels like, you start second-guessing yourself. In that time, I didn't know what failure felt like. And I mean, I was just like, we're the greatest things at sliced bread. Just trust us. This is going to work. Let's go.
You also had nothing to lose.
Had nothing to lose.
Right? And I felt the same way about the early part of my career. I had absolutely nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So it was balls out. Let's go. Taking chances. Big risks.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, it really, there's something about that innocence that there's a beautiful concept in just the not knowing. I mean, even being in that thing, I didn't know who Joe Galani or Mike Dungan was or Paul Worley. And Hillary, before that show at Third Lindsay, he was like so nervous. I was like, what? And she goes, oh, there's just all these people. It's like, I don't know who those people are. And so, you know, it was just such an interesting thing that now, you know, I will say after having, you know, certain singles flop that you thought were going to be great, it was like, you know, ones that you really pushed hard for that don't work, then you start going, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. And that's when you get, you know, maybe it's a healthy thing. You know, again, I mean, it's like anything. You just kind of get a little bit of that second guessing going through your life.
What was the first single you guys put out? Was it
Love Don't Live Here? And then we put out Looking for a Good Time, which I will be honest, we were hesitant about that. I think they were just really wanting to push this youthful, fun thing. But like, we listen to that song now, and Hillary especially is like, it's so not us. Like, you know, it's like talking about like a one night stand. I mean, I'm not going to say like, listen, I'm the wildest of the group, but like Hillary Scott singing about having a one night stand is not Hillary Scott at all.
Right.
And it didn't do that well. I think it went to like number 11 or something. And then finally it was like, let's get back to the great songs off this record. And we put out Run to You. And that was our first number one.
So you've got Run to You hits number one. Is Need You Now after Run to You?
Yes.
Which is the fourth single. So it's your first project. A lot of first projects.
First single off the second record.
Oh, is that what it was?
Need You Now was the first single off the second record.
So, I'm talking to Dave, that song almost didn't even make that record.
Almost didn't make the record.
And it had to be heard back at, like an old voice memo or
so,
something.
So this is, by that time, okay, so first record we do this, and I believe we wrote all songs off the first record. Maybe there was one that was outside, but I think we had recorded it before we even like, I think Victoria Shaw had written it, and I remember we heard it and we were like, oh, we want to sing that. But we didn't cut any outside like pitches from the label at that time. And by the second record, we were definitely feeling that like, okay, this is big. And so we had written all these songs and we go into this song meeting and we're just you know, trying to help narrow down the songs because you get very much in your head. You don't know what's good or bad by that time. If you've written 60 songs, it's like you always love the newest thing you've written. And we're in there and we're playing all these songs and I don't know what made me open it up, but I was like, oh, yeah. There's one I'm missing. There's something we wrote with Josh Keir, but it's a crappy little work tape. But I will say the verse is kind of cool. And I played it. And everybody's like, it was hard to hear. I mean, it's like something you recorded on your phone. We didn't have the harmonies worked out yet. And Autumn House and Melissa Spillman both were like, that's cool. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's cool. Just try it. And so our process at this time, Paul Worley's process, was to go into a rehearsal space before he went in the studio and just work up songs and work them up and see what works. And so I think we took, let's say, 20 songs, and then we were able to narrow it down. And I remember, like, when we started working on Need You Now and all these different hooks started coming together, we were like, this is cool. This will be our favorite song off the record that won't be a single. You know how those are. It's like all my favorite records have like songs that never were singles.
Same.
Which are the greatest songs. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of our records have been that. I'm like, you know, it's like everyone's so afraid of putting out the ballad, you know, and it's like those are my favorites. But yeah, so we ended up cutting it. And I think we cut them in batches. And it was like we cut like 6 songs. And we were out on the road. And our label was like, you know, we had this like plan for them to come over and listen to like the first batch of songs. But we had randomly had like some show we needed to go do. And so we were like, well, y'all just go listen and just let us know what they think. And we were like, they're going to want Our Kind of Love for a single. Fun tempo, duet, out of the gate, big old hit. And our, I can't remember who texted us. I think it was like my publicist. And she was like, they're losing their mind over Need You Now. They're like, we had to play it like multiple times. And we're like, no kidding, Need You Now. Wow. How about that? And, you know, it ended up changing our life.
Yeah, when did you realize that rocket ship was truly a rocket ship and different than, we'll say, the race car that the last record was?
I don't know. I mean, obviously there's so many different times. It's hard to remember. We were so busy and I didn't know any different. It was like, oh, this is what happens. But I do remember Run D was a grind to get it up the charts. It almost died at like 30. And Jimmy Harnon, who we're with now, was at Capitol. And I think that's why I wanted to go back and work with Jimmy Harnon so much, because I could, like, I would be out on the golf course with him and he was on the phone the whole time. And I was like, he's not very fun to play golf with, but that's who I want on my side. And he really, I believe, single-handedly pushed Run D through to get it heard. Because songs like that, I mean, think of some songs like, too, like Girl Crush needed to just be heard to get through those. And it really doesn't. Songs people don't realize don't really get heard until they're top 20. Not really. Not enough to soak into the ether of people's minds. And so it broke 30, got to 20, almost died, broke 20. And then once it got up, it kind of finally took off. But Need You Now was so easy. It was like every station was like, we're in, we love it, can't stop playing it. And it just blew. And I remember being like, this is different. And we had never had a song just like sell like this. And it just felt different.
Well, when did people start to go, hey, we're going to actually try this at Hot AC, or we're going to see it's crossing over to pop?
That was, I believe the Nashville pop station was the first one to do it, if I'm not mistaken. And it's so funny. If you listen, there was like a couple stations that wouldn't play the slide guitar because they thought it was too country. And we were like, I think they thought it was a steel guitar. And it was like, I remember being like, screw them, then don't play it. And then it was like, no, this is a big song. So we changed the solo. If you notice on the pop version, it's just like kind of more of like just a 80s, you know, kind of riffy guitar part. But I remember, you know, once it started getting played over there and really taking off, you know, it just took on a different life. I mean, obviously, though, the Grammys, we got to perform it on the Grammys. And if I'm not mistaken, they had made a mistake. They thought Need You Now had already gone number one or something. I think they thought they were getting Run to You and Need You Now mixed up, and they let us because that's what it was. They thought Need You Now was what we were nominated for. We were actually nominated for Run to You.
In the country category.
And if I'm not mistaken, they didn't realize, but it was too late. And then the song was doing what it was doing. And Gary was like, no, we're going to do Need You Now. And so we do Need You Now on the Grammys. And I think it had just gone like around top 10 or something, maybe number one, maybe top 10.
Which chart?
In country.
Country. Got it.
And once we performed it on the Grammys, it took off and took on a whole nother life. And that's when, too, all the other pop stations that were kind of, you know, it just kind of blew up.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Were you so busy that you didn't actually notice how famous you were getting?
Oh, yes. I still, to this day, being a guy in a group, I mean, there's such a beautiful anonymity to it. It's like, I've always thought it was the most beautiful thing. I mean, yes, I'm tall, walking through an airport, but people are still like, I recognize you, but I still don't really know. Are you from Little Big Town? Are you, what are you, famous? Are you a baseball player or something? And there's just a beautiful anonymity to it. You know, you get to go kind of be this freaking rock star in front of all these people and then literally go off and I could go to the Applebee's after the show and maybe one person would recognize me, which is great. And I've always thought that's the beautiful thing about being in a group, especially a country group. But it was definitely different. I don't know. I think the three of us like humbled each other so much. We never like felt famous. And so each of us, anytime like someone would maybe try to like do something that was a little too famous or put like sunglasses on in the airport, we'd be like, what are you doing? Stop doing that.
In a few minutes, I want to talk about some songs that you wrote that other artists cut. Mm-hmm. That were massive songs. Put your headphones on for just a second. Okay. I just want to play some stuff from the new record.
Am I rambling? Am I good at this or horrible at this?
No, you're great at this.
Okay, good.
This is what this is.
All right, good. I just feel like I ramble.
That's good.
I'm not very good at like succinct answers.
That's why this is perfect. For you. This is the only place you should talk from now on in this room with me. And we'll just service it to everybody else. Talk of this town. It's you three, Jordan Reynolds, who I know from working with Dan and Shay, mm-hmm. and then Nicole Gallion, who I know pretty well as well. When there are five of you in a room, those two powerhouses.
There, I was about to say, two of the best songwriters we have.
And I ask you this question honestly. When there are five of you in a room, are you going, all right, we have five great songwriters here? Or are you going, all right, this song's 20% to each of us?
No.
Like,
no.
You're not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
No, not at all. Because I know some folks who don't want to write with more than three people because they're like, if this song does hit, I don't want to split the money this much.
I mean, maybe, you know, if anybody has that, would have that concern, it should be a songwriter. I mean, for us, you know, I've always said it's, you know, which is why we cut a lot of outside songs. I mean, we make our money on the road. You know, we're selling t-shirts and stuff. These songwriters are the ones that, you know, or sometimes, in my opinion, getting very screwed with what's going on, you know, with payments streaming. And streaming.
Very much so, yeah.
And so, if anything, you know, these are two powerhouses. They don't, you know, they could just, the three of them, or the two of them could just write a song and send it to us, and if we love it, we'll probably cut it. We don't have an ego with that. But I will say, when Dave and Hillary and I can get together in a group with another writer, it just becomes our sound more, and we know where our vocal parts need to go. You know, there's times that obviously we've cut outside songs, but, you know, and there's been some that have been sent that I was like, it just didn't fit our voice. I was like, damn. But when you're in a room with two writers like that, you kind of go into it going, there's no way we're going to write a bad song. It would be impossible to write a bad song. Now, it doesn't mean there's not times we'll go in and write songs that just barely don't make the record. I mean, there's... And sometimes I get such like, gosh, did we make the right choice? You know, there's so many songs for every artist. I guarantee you, Luke, Dan and Shay, as much as they write, have, you know, hundreds of hits out there just that, you know, will never see the light of day, which is kind of a shame. But you know you're going to go into the room and get something good with these two.
Let me play. And I have a few tracks I wanted to talk about specifically. Here's Talk of This Town. And I'm going to go to the second song, and not that we're going to do this all chronologically, but I'm friends with Ryan Hurd,
yeah,
who was one of the writers with you,
yeah,
on this next track.
Who I just saw this morning. I was telling you right when I walked in here, we were at our little. I was working out, and he was hitting golf balls.
He had also posted, which is why I looked this up. He had posted, "Hey, thanks for letting me be a part of writing a little bit of this record."
Yeah,
and it's, you know, this song here, "What a Song Can Do," and it was you.
Yeah.
Ryan Hurd, Sam Ellis, Laura Belts. Let me play this. Then I have a question. You know, you talk about being deliberately equal when you're singing. What about the songwriting process? And, you know, because you have the single now, which Hillary wrote. Mm-hmm. You were not on that writing team. Are you guys deliberate about how many songs get on? Because it's hard to not be biased when you write songs.
Oh, no, no doubt. You know, there was a time, by the way, What a Song Can Do probably is my favorite song I've been a part of writing in 4 or 5 years.
Why that specifically?
It is... The sound of it is so quintessential Lady A to me. It's got the back and forth with Hillary, but it's got that kind of a little bit of Petty, Tom Petty, Southern. You know, it just reminds me of like, What If I Never Get Over You, Need You Now. It's in the same vein of all those little things that I feel like when we're at our best, that's the sound of our band. But and I love Ryan Hurd. He does that so well. I told him, I was like, we could, like that little writing group right there, along with Dave and Hillary, we could write an entire record together. You know, especially sprinkling like Jordan Reynolds and Nicole Galleon. It's like we all love the same types of sounds and music. But this record in particular, you know, it was written during the pandemic. And I needed something to take my mind off of everything. And I wrote almost every day. And so it naturally was just that thing of like, with this record, I mean, there were records in the past, I will say, maybe around like the fourth or fifth record where you can tell, like, you're like, man, are Dave and Hillary not into this song because they're not on it? Or are they really listening to it? We're so at this point now, we're like, we're so in a weird way. I hate to say that, but we are like very kind of egoless when it comes to this band right now. We just want to stay relevant and make great music. And I mean, the first time I heard it, the funny thing is like Hillary didn't write much at all this past year. I wrote an insane amount. Dave wrote a pretty solid amount, and Hillary didn't write that much. But when she wrote, she is like, when she wrote like some of the best songs she's ever written. Worship What I Hate is probably the most powerful song off the record, anybody that gets the record. I'm not, you know, she wrote it with Dave, Natalie Himby, and Amy Wash. Amy Wash writes a lot with Ed Sheeran. And I remember hearing that and being like, if I was in the room and you threw out a title, Worship What I Hate, I would have been like, we're not writing that. That's too heavy. And so we've kind of learned too, probably the same thing with Like a Lady. I was like a Lady? We're named Lady A, Like a Lady, which is kind of what's cool about it. I mean, like, it's a little too feminine for us. We can't do that, man. I mean, we got two guys in this group. And so we've learned that sometimes it's also nice and it gets us out of our own way. Because when I get in a writing room, I'm pretty opinionated and I can't help myself but really kind of insert in a big way my opinions. And, you know, so we've learned too that it's nice to step away. But we are at our best, I think, when the three of us are in the writing room together. But naturally, this record, the reason I have so many is just I wrote so much. And what I love about David Hillary, too, is like, I mean, when they first heard What a Song Could Do, they're like, that's, first off, that's got to be a single at some point. They were like, this is one of the best songs. You know, it was our story.
Right.
You know, that song feels like such our story. So
here is, you talk about it. I also was going to highlight this. This is Worship What I Hate.
I didn't even realize I worship what I hate.
That's the outro.
I've heard it before.
I know, but are you able to actually play the some of the choruses?
Mike, what do you have? I thought you were telling me, like, hey, this is a song you haven't heard before. I was like, no, I know.
But it's some of the
he's
best.
He's like, I'm Charles from Lady A. I'm like, yeah, bro.
Some of the best lyrics, man.
You want it from the start?
Man, just do it. It's
7:02 in the morning. Here we go. Here
I know. But do like the first verse and chorus. I just, it's one of the best.
Can we
written...
legally play that much on a podcast?
Maybe not.
There's
the
just
whole...
music rights issues on a
podcast. Oh, got you. Well,
I could start it from the first verse.
Okay.
Okay. That's okay. That's chorus.
You want it back earlier?
Oh, this is great. Okay. No, that's great.
Okay. Nobody that I didn't have to
blame. I'm seeing every flaw like a failure. Talking about all her insecurities and you're like trying to build a church out of all my hurt when it really needs grace. I gave all my time to nothing. Tell me that's not one of the best voices in country music right there.
And not only in this song, what stuck out to me, it's not just that she's a great singer, but you can also hear her be vulnerable with her voice at times.
I'm telling you, man, when she's at her best, she like there was a song on the one before Ocean, which was the title track, and then there was a song on the one before called Hurt. And we always try to find that one thing that just breaks your heart, and it's always everybody's favorite off the record that never becomes a single.
That was her to me in this song, mm-hmm. was you hear her not be super strong vocal Hillary, you hear her be great singer, but also great communicator with her voice.
Exactly. Hillary. You can tell. I mean, that song is about, you know, what we were all doing, especially during a pandemic, just everyone's just sitting there doing these unhealthy things, drinking too much. Lord knows I was looking at our phones all the time, comparing ourselves to others. And it was like, you know, I worship what I hate. Like I'm this is like my idol now. This phone is my idol. This is, you know, and it was like, when I heard it, I was floored. I was just blown away. And I literally texted Dave and Hillary. I was like, I'm so glad I wasn't there that day. I think I was golfing. I was like, guys, I've got like one of my, I think I was probably golfing with Darius. I was like, when Darius wants to golf, I always say yes. And I was like, man, I've been writing a lot. Y'all just go and do this. And I just was like, gosh, that's floored me.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
I'll ask you about one more song. Mostly, it's not so much about the song, but there's a song, Friends Don't Let Friends, which, mm-hmm. Where was I playing this, Mike? Why has this been played recently?
We did it on New Music.
Nice.
We did?
Yeah.
Good.
That's what it mm-hmm. is. Okay, okay. So we were talking about this song, and it's you, Carly, TR, Darius. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just reminded me of the awkward when you have to ask somebody, or you ask someone to do a project or song with you.
Yeah.
You ever ask somebody and they say no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You ever,
often.
I'm assuming you, it's a give and take, right? I'm
assuming yeah, you say oh yeah, and we've been asked. I mean, honestly, like, I mean, I've asked several artists and they were just like, man, I mean, literally, like, I've been on, you know, and most of the time it's like, I'm on so many. And the truth is, it is. I mean, think of all these artists. I mean, how many other projects they're on. And there was a couple that, you know, I was like, I get it. Like, you know, and you're like, they're like, and I got a single about to come out with this part, you know, and you're like, totally understand, because the last thing you want to do is put them on a song and then you don't get single rights. For those out there listening, like, just because they're on the song, you know, we'll still have to run through, like, we'll have to, for us to put the song out to radio, like, we'll have to ask Darius's people and Universal, and if it's not a single though at some point, I'm gonna raise a stink, because it's one of my favorite songs. I wrote this with TR down at the beach. We were literally watching our kids play, and we had a little beer in our hand, and we were like, friends don't let friends drink alone. We got to write that. And so, yeah.
What a Song Can Do. New record, 14 songs. A lot of songs. I mean, you know, considering what people are putting in records now, and a lot of people are focusing yeah. on 4 and 5 song packages, why was it important to you guys to put out such a robust?
Well, I don't know. Record? I mean, we just had a lot of material. I mean, but I don't know if you noticed, we'd put out, you know, put them out in chapters, like 7 first, then 7 later. And I don't know if that was the right or wrong move. We were trying to just see if people could wrap their heads and consume the music a little bit more that way, because not from a necessarily sales standpoint, just like for me, I will be honest, it's hard for me to wrap my head around more than about 11 songs
off
a record.
It's hard for me to wrap 4.
Yeah, I know.
These days.
And honestly, moving forward, who knows if we'll ever do as much, you know, I mean, because I really do, with every year that goes by, it's like, this is a singles game, but... Or at least, you know, maybe the thing for me would be beautiful is like put out like these little 4 songs, the EPs, where you've got like the radio single, then you got some other stuff. But it just, I don't know, man. It always breaks my heart how much music we write that we feel really proud of, and you just want it to get out there. And I don't know. Now we're getting to the spot where it's like, we don't have to be the biggest thing in the world. We've in my favorite acts, man. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I probably really focused on their first 3 or 4 records, and then kind of like, I'm still a big fan of like Bruce Springsteen, but I haven't bought one of his new records. And I totally get it. If we're not selling or consuming as much as we did in the beginning, we're, you know, but I do think this record and our last record, Ocean, is some of the best music we've ever put out. And we finally have just gotten out of our way of trying to like put out or write what we think
like you guys, you know, are going to love.
Don't look at me. I have nothing to do with it.
I know that, but you know what I mean.
I've gotten further out of that game than I ever could.
I know, right?
When you talk about artists, it's just what you're saying to me there. I had the same conversation with Luke Bryan. We were flying to Idol together, and he was like, man, he was like, I've had my time.
Yeah.
He's like, I always want to be the guy, but I've had my time being the guy.
The guy.
He's like, it's time for the next people that are the guy to be the guy.
Well, he's always going to be, sorry, I keep moving your mic. He's always going to be, he's Luke Bryan. But yeah, I mean, at some point you've got to like, the only way this genre survives is for us to give these new artists a chance. And they've learned off of us and seen what we've doing. And I hope they take it and take it to a whole nother level. If anything, I'm just looking for, you know, that was why I get really, obviously, when Maren came out, she was just so like such a breath of fresh air, you know, Ingrid Andress. And I'm waiting for more of that, for people to start taking some chances a little bit and us as a genre to take some more chances, because there is a lot of the same out there. And that's okay, too. I mean, it's great and it's fun. It's easily digestible. But, man, I'm ready for more because I need it, too, man. I thrive off of like discovering new music and you know, I'm ready for the next big thing.
Before we run here, I do want to highlight a few songs that you wrote that other artists cut. We mentioned Luke, 2009, Luke Bryan, Do I?
Do I turn you on at all when I kiss you, baby? Does the side of me wanting you drive?
Was this your first songwriting success at all?
Yes. Well, at all outside of the band.
Yes. Meaning, did you write it for you guys?
I don't know what made us, I think we just became good friends with Luke, and I don't necessarily know if we were trying to like get an outside cut, or I was just like, Luke, we should write sometime. And we wrote this around kind of the time probably Rundy was doing its thing. The reason I remember around the time it was is because we had Need You Now at number one and Do I was at number two. So talk about as a songwriter. I remember being like, oh, yeah, cool.
No big deal.
And now I'm like going back like, that doesn't happen, dude. And I remember calling up Mike Dungan. You were on the same label. And I was like, dude, kill Need You Now. Make Do I go up to number one. He goes, we can't, like, you can't stop Need You Now right now. Like, this is, and Need You Now set up there for like 4 weeks while Do I would like set up there like waiting for its turn. And then finally, we had dropped just enough for Do I to get in there and get the number one. And I remember being as a songwriter like, this is pretty daggum cool. But, man, Luke, I mean, I can't take a ton of credit. Luke had this idea and the chorus was half as long. And I was like, that chorus is so hooky, Luke. I was like, we got to double that chorus. And then it's got to come back to the Do I. He had the Do I turn you on and I want to kiss you, baby. Side of me wanting you drive you crazy. Baby, Do I. That's as long as it was. It was like, no, man, keep it going. And so I feel like some of Dave and I's pop melody, you know, kind of got in there. And you know, and it was Luke's first number one. But I feel like it opened him up in a big way, that he wasn't just this kind of one trick pony. But obviously nothing did for Luke what Country Girl Shake It For Me did for Luke.
Right.
But it was cool to be a part of his first number one.
And that, and by the way, you have, I believe, 11 number ones with Lady A that you've written. So when I mean songwriter, I mean that you were just the songwriter, that you weren't singing with your own voice on a record. And so that's, I grabbed a couple. Darius, Homegrown Honey.
Yeah, yeah. Homegrown Honey.
Again, when you write this, what's the mindset? You're writing for Darius?
I had told Darius, like, you know, I was like, we've never written together, man. Why have we never written together? This is crazy. We're like best friends. Which is the same thing with like Thomas Rhett. He's got two songs off this new record. I was like, we've been friends for freaking 7-8 years. Like, how have we never written together? And the only two songs we've written made this record, Friends Don't Let Friends and a song called Things He Handed Down. But Darius, we were there. And so I went over to Nathan Chapman's studio a little bit before. And I was like, we're about to write with Darius. We got to get something kind of brewed up. And we kind of had this little chorus. It's, honey, 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 you owe so money. And I was like, ooh. Man, that sounds like that could be a cool Lady A song. I was like, and I was like, if he doesn't like this, we're going to save this for Lady A. And the minute we played it for him, he was like, that's awesome. And so, you know, we were just off to the races. But yeah, that day we were, in my head, we were trying to write for Luke. I mean, Darius.
One more, 2018, Brett Young, Here Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys touring together? I feel like you were touring together when you wrote this one.
We were. And I don't know if he still does this. He can't write without a whiskey in his hand. He is so funny. Like, because he's like...
He's superstitious or...
Yes. I don't know if it's superstitious or it just calms him down. He's not like... And I don't say this enough, and I hope he wouldn't think I like am like throwing him under the bus, because he's not like... I drink more than Brett. I mean, he's a very controlled guy. But like, I remember we wrote at like 11 o'clock and I was like, are you drinking whiskey at 11? It's like, do we need to talk? Do we need to have a talk? And, you know, I'd like just woken up. I had like coffee in my hand. I was like, man, you're a rock star, dude. And he goes, dude, I can't write without having a whiskey in my hand. And so anyways, that one, I had just had a little bit of that melody of the end. And I was trying to write for him. He probably thought he was trying to write for me, which happens a lot. I wrote a song with Maren and Ryan Hurd, and I thought I was going in there to write a song with Maren for her record. And she sang in the demo, and she was like, Hillary's going to kill this. I was like, no, Maren, you're going to kill this. And it's so funny. It almost made our record. It may make a future record, but yeah.
The last things I'm going to ask you are a bit about the name change, but yeah, not really what you expect about the name change.
No, it's I don't just, mind at all.
I'm really not that interested in the drama of that. I mean, I think we kind of all saw that play out, but it's like all the merch you had with Lady Antebellum written on it. Like, those are the questions I have. Like, what the crap do you do with all... It's like a World Series team that finishes second. Like, you got it all printed out. What do you do with it then?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I love... You know, I just think we're in a time now where, like, when you know better, you know, when you know better, you do better. And we had never thought about that name. I mean, I had talks with so many of my, you know, my black friends, and they were like, you know, I never really thought about it, but when I look at it, you know, they're like, because I know you guys, and I know that's not, but they were like, I could see how that just, and I don't know, man, with everything that's going on, it's like, I don't want to be a part of any, I don't want to have anything associated with us that would make any human being think that that was any part of our hearts, because it could not be any more different. I just think it's just one of those, I call it one of those little blind spots, especially when you grow up in the South, you're like, You kind of, in a weird way, romanticize some things around here that you're not necessarily associating it with the bad. You're associating it with, like, the grace, the this, and that, you know what I mean? And I think that was kind of naively kind of where we were in that. And there's a lot of people that thought we folded or whatever. And it's like, well, you know what? Then if you don't want to be a part of the conversation of change and just opening ourselves up to, like, making a better world, then that's fine. You know, dig your heels in. But that was what it was all about. And, yeah, I mean, probably a lot of T-shirts out there. There was a lot of, like, all kinds of stuff we, you know. And people still will call us Lady Antebellum.
I slipped and have done that. That's okay. I did that on the Opry stage, and I was like, God dang.
No, listen, that's okay. I mean, same thing with the Dixie Chicks. They never had – there's no way they had any intention of that being offensive. And there's a lot of people that are like, well, it's not offensive. It's like, well, no kidding. It's not offensive to you. And Lady Antebellum is not offensive to you. Listen, it wasn't offensive to me. It's not necessarily, I don't associate those things with that word, but a lot of people do. And when you can make a change, and especially when people called us, you know, Lady A, that probably would have been the most difficult thing if we didn't, because think about the brand recognition. That would have been the most difficult thing if we didn't have a name that already everyone associated. I mean, from the day one. I mean, I remember, like, first time we went on the Today Show, it was like, Lady A, taking over the pavilion. This was like 2007. So everyone's been calling us Lady A. But it was a very difficult time. I mean, really wild. Never been in our lives kind of misinterpreted like, you know, like that or whatever, or you know, and because it's always been about the music, and that's what we wanted about. That was one reason, you know, that wrote that song Talk of This Town. I was like, I don't want to be the talk of this town. It's got a little double meaning there. But man, we learned a lot about ourselves, and it kind of made us even more passionate about being a part of a band that represents love and a welcome environment and putting out music that makes people feel good. I don't know. So for us, it's like, I know there's something beautiful that's going to happen, and I know there's something beautiful that's out there that, you know, we all are going to make changes, and people are always so resistant to it. And I don't know. I'm hoping that there's going to be some beauty from the name change at some point, because
I will say right now, it's been pretty tough to be misinterpreted so bad with your intentions.
Especially people that don't know you, never even tried to know you.
Never even tried to know
you. And they're only basing their only knowledge of you off a headline that they read
exactly.
in 3 seconds.
Exactly. And trust me, there's so much more to that in a very crazy way that people wouldn't even understand, you know. But listen, we're trying to do our best like everybody else. And I think as long as you try and you know, try to leave the world a little bit better. You know, I don't want my little boy as he grows up and he's in history class going, "Dad, well, what did you mean by that? And why did you now?" Because when I learned about it, I was like, "Well, that's hard to explain. I don't know."
Yeah.
And so I don't know. We grew up, man. You grow up and you start looking at the world and going, "All right, man, we can all do better." And that's just the bottom line. We can. And sometimes it takes a pandemic and, you know, and a lot of things that happen that kind of change the world for the better, you know, and it takes time. It's still going to take a long, long, long time, but there's some beauty, I think, that's going to come out of this pandemic and everyone having some forced stillness. And there's also going to be a lot of anxiety and therapy we're all going to have to go through after this.
What a Song Can Do is the new record. Good to talk to you one-on-one.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, man.
I mean, it's not like we don't ever talk, but
no.
Usually it's
with the three of us,
or it's, I think the last time I saw you was in the hallway of the Opry and everybody's got their families or, you know, people with them.
How you like a married life, man?
It's good.
Does it feel any different?
It feels different in that I always feel like people in my life are going to leave me because growing up, that's what happened.
Wow.
My dad left, my mom died, everybody left.
Wow.
But it's going to be hard for her to do that legally. That's the difference.
Awful.
I always felt like, man, she's so freaking smart. She's so pretty. Everything is, she shouldn't be with me.
Awesome.
And I always thought, well, eventually she's going to figure it out. But now if she figures it out, it's just going to take a couple more steps. And I feel like in the midst of those steps, I can convince her otherwise. So yes, it has been so great that I get scared. No. It's so great.
Well, that's good. At least it's so great. I mean, dude, I remember the first year, I mean, me and my wife, you know, sorry, mom and dad, but we lived in sin for a year. And it was like, you know, once we moved in, it didn't feel that much different because we'd already kind of been together, you know. Well, but
and we were dated for like 6 months then, or 4 months or so. Then the pandemic hit and we were stuck together
the
really
whole time. Had to get to know each other.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, yeah, this is for her.
Well, then you're awesome.
Yeah.
Well, then if you got through that, you get through anything. Anybody that literally were dating and got through the pandemic together are probably on a heck of a path.
It's been awesome. So awesome that I'm scared to say it's been awesome.
That's awesome.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Check out the new record.
Yeah.
Good talk.
Good talk.
You nailed this.
Thanks, man.
We just did an hour.
Rambly.
And not rambly at all, honestly.
Rambly Jay over here.
No. You conversationally and how you communicated how you should communicate.
Yeah.
It's hard to communicate on any sort of show when you have 9 minutes. And three people.
Yeah.
And as much as you love those three people, I was telling them before you came in, it's like, all right, I got to spend enough time with Dave. I got to spend enough time with Charles. I got to spend enough time with Hillary. And then I got to make everybody feel like they're welcome. And then, oh, time to go. Second segment's over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
Send my love to everybody.
I will. And you should get the two of them on separately. It'd be interesting.
Dave has been on.
Okay, cool.
Dave came over for a long time. But Dave sent me to on-site, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
He did me too.
When you guys had the controversy or like I was reaching out to Dave, like, because I've been in a lot of trouble and I've not recently, but through my career, I've been sued.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to Dave and was like, hey man, I'm thinking about you. Here's what I know. Here's what I'm seeing from an outside because, you know, he sent me to on-site, which is the place to go. I wouldn't take that lightly. But that's, you know, a guy that I trust.
And, He's one of the best, the most genuine. And one of the biggest lessons our first manager said, he'd been around managing every act under the sun. He goes, you're not famous till you've been sued at least 2 or 3 times. People don't come after people that aren't successful. You know what I mean? I mean, when they see, there's like a whole group of lawyers and stuff out there too looking for little ways of making money off of people. I mean, this is just, it is what it is. You're not alone. There isn't an artist in this town that's successful that hasn't been sued for something. I remember hearing a story one time that Bruce Springsteen got sued by someone in that had said he had written a poem in jail, and it was easier to give the guy like $30,000 than to fight it with the lawyers. And that's what they bet on. It's so messed up. I can't even get it. It's so icky.
And that's why even my car insurance is so high, honestly. Yeah. Like, I have an umbrella insurance policy that is like, if somebody hits you and they see it's you.
It's
automatic.
If there's money to be made out there, there's people that are pariahs that are going to come try to get it.
All right, you go. Charles Kelly, at Charles Kelly on Instagram. Lady A's got a new record. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah, man.
All right, there he is.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.